So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 11, verse 21 to 27. So I'll read from 21 to 26, and then we'll chant together 27. Verse 21. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, "Then one time, having seen the great disturbances in Vrindavan, all the elderly person among the coward men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, assembled and began to consider what to do to stop the continuous disturbing situation in Vraj. 22. At this meeting of all the inhabitants of Gokula, a coward man named Upananda, who was the most mature in age and knowledge, was very experienced according to time, circumstances and country, made this suggestion for the benefit of Rama and Krishna. 23. He said, "My dear friends, the coward men, in order to do good to this place, Gokula, we should leave it, because so many disturbances are always occurring here, just for the purpose of killing Rama and Krishna. 24. The child Krishna, simply by the mercy of Supreme Personality of Godhead, was somehow or other recused from the hands of Rakshasi Putana, rescued from the hands of the Rakshasi Putana, who was determined to kill him. Then again, by the mercy of Supreme Godhead, the handcart missed failing upon the child. 25. Then again, the demon Trinavarta, in the form of a whirlwind, took this child away into the dangerous sky to kill him. But the demon fell down onto the slab of stone. In that case, also by the mercy of Lord Vishnu or his associates, the child was saved. 26. Even the other day, neither Krishna nor any of his playmates died from the falling of the two trees, although the children were near the trees or even between them. This also is to be considered the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So verse 27, translation. "All these incidents are being caused by some unknown demon. Before he comes here to create another disturbance, it is our duty to go somewhere else with the boys until there are no more disturbances." Purport. Upananda suggested, "By the mercy of Lord Vishnu, Krishna has always been saved from so many dangerous incidents. Now let us leave this place and go somewhere else where we may worship Lord Vishnu undisturbed before there is another cause of death from some demon who may attack us. A devotee desires only that he may execute devotional service undisturbed. Actually, we see, however, that even during the presence of Krishna, when Nanda Maharaj and the other coward men had the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their presence, there were disturbances. Of course, in every case, Krishna came out victorious. The instruction we may derive from this is that we should not be disturbed by so-called disturbances. There have been so many disturbances to our Krishna consciousness movement, but we cannot give up our forward march. On the contrary, people are receiving this movement very enthusiastically all over the world, and they are purchasing literature about Krishna consciousness with redoubled energy. Thus, there are both encouragements and disturbances. This was so even in Krishna's time." Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpa tarubhnyascha kripa sindhu bhyayeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All those incidents are being caused by some unknown demon. Before he comes here to create another disturbance, it is our duty to go somewhere else with the boys until there are no more disturbances. Hare Krishna, thank you for coming for Bhagavatam class. Before I start, I would like to seek blessings from senior devotees. We have here Vishwambar Prabhu, we have Radhakanta Prabhu, and we have sabbatical devotees that just finished the learning Bhakti Shastras, that they very much learn it and they have so many things to share with us. So thank you all for being here and hearing me. So we'll start with class. While preparing for class, I was meditating, what can I speak about this topic, Krishna leaving from Vrindavan, and thought came to my mind how we are fortunate to have opportunity to serve and how important it is to take shelter of Krishna while serving or doing any activity. We can see Upananda, who was this elder brother from Nanda Baba. He was giving advice, please leave Gokula and go to Vrindavan. But they didn't want to leave Gokula simply for the reason to get free from disturbances. This is not real reason to leave Gokula. Real reason to leave Gokula was to improve service to Krishna. So this is why they left Gokula, to go to Vrindavan, to increase, improve their service to Krishna. They only have only one interest, to serve Krishna better. So whichever situation is better for Krishna, we'll go there. Doesn't matter if for us it's not good. It doesn't matter if it's inconvenient for us. So Upananda gave this advice to Nanda and Yashoda, and they all agreed because he was senior. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that he was an experienced counselor in the family. So he was giving direct advice and they followed. So whatever we do in Krishna consciousness, whatever decision we make should be only for increasing and improving service to Krishna and Guru and Srila Prabhupada. So I was meditating on different stories from our scriptures. Devotees who exhibited this very nicely, and thought came to my mind to Jatayu. We know Jatayu, he was a very old bird when Rama was on the planet. He was seeing Sita be kidnapped by Ravana, and he didn't even think what, you know, he knew Ravana is strongest. He knew he's weak, he's just a bird. But anyways, with all these qualifications, he decided to serve Rama and help save Sita. So then he went to fight with Ravana, and what happened? He was defeated. He was almost killed. Later on, he died. And then Ram came, and then Jatayu said to Ram, you know, Lord Ram, accept my obeisances and forgive me. I was not able to serve you nicely. But Ram says, no, you have been successful. I don't care about result. I care about your mood. You had mood to serve me nicely. You dedicated everything. You had so many disturbances, you had so many disqualifications, but your disqualification became qualification because you had right mentality, you have mentality to serve me. This is why I'm extremely pleased with you. So it's a very nice example. We can see how Jatayu was very nicely serving. Then I was also meditating in Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada time. Devotees, they didn't care about their own comfort. They just wanted to please spiritual master. Best example is Tamakrishna Maharaj and Vishnujan Maharaj. Once they have been traveling to Phoenix, and Phoenix is the place where generally old people go and, you know, they retire there and they have nice time, and, you know, playing tennis, playing, you know, different kind of sports and enjoying relaxing. So they have been thinking, let's just go there and preach to these people, let them make them devotees. So they went with their famous bus preaching. So they parked there in the area where all the camp houses are, and you know, they came late in the night, and in the morning, of course, devotees wake up. If you're really enthusiastic, 3 o'clock. So all of them wake up 3 o'clock, and they had 4 o'clock Mangal Arati. And then while Mangal Arati is going on, Tamal Krishna Maharaj is leading Mangal Arati, explains in his book, Servant to the Servant. He was reading the Mangal Arati, and Gan came from that. They have been doing kirtan in a bus. So Gan came to the window and said, I'll shoot you, I'll leave this place immediately. So Tamal Krishna immediately came out with the van to see what's going on, and he saw this ranger, this person, policeman who was there in the charge to make sure everything's, you know, safe. He came, you need to leave this place. You didn't have license to stay here, and you're just creating disturbances. You're singing and screaming 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. What is that? So leave this place. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj knew he didn't have choice. They didn't have license. They didn't have right to stay, so they left. But then he said to Vishnu Maharaj, maybe we have been taken away from this service to serve Prabhupada, but despite difficulties, we cannot leave our service. Let us go to somewhere else. So then they went to Houston. Immediately, straight from that, 4 o'clock in the morning, they went to Houston and they went to student camp. So they came during the day, and out in the student camp, they have many small people who are selling different food for the students so they can take the meals. So they started to do kirtan there, and they've been thinking, what if we start to distribute prasadam in this place? So next day they came in the morning. They knew these people come 10 o'clock to set up the thing. So we'll come 8 o'clock, and we'll start our, you know, selling prasadam. So they came next day at 8 o'clock, and they started to serve prasadam. But then person who was in this same spot for so many years staying, his name was Hector, he came and he says, you're in my spot. You should move from here. I'm selling here food for so many years. I have a small shop here. And then devotees say, we can stay here. We don't need license. Everybody can come and sell. And then this Hector was thinking what to do. He complained. He complained to so many people in charge, officers, policemen. But nobody can remove them. Everybody has right to be here. Who first come first was rule. So then he was thinking, okay, they come 8 o'clock. Let me come 7 o'clock. So he came 7 o'clock. But then he saw devotees have been still there. So he said, next day I'll come 6 o'clock. So next day came 6 o'clock and devotees didn't come yet there. So then this day he won. But then devotees decided next day come 5 o'clock and chant their rounds before he comes. So they came 5 o'clock, and when he came 6 o'clock, he saw, oh my God, you're here. What time you wake up? So then next day he came 6 o'clock there. And then, but devotees knew he would do something, so they came 3 o'clock, chanted their rounds, and it was their spot. So he got really angry and he was complaining. But then Tamal Krishna Maharaj explains, nothing will stop us to serve Srila Prabhupada. If this means to wake up early, if this means to fight with people, if this means to face so many challenges, no. We'll serve Srila Prabhupada to best of our ability. And we can see this in many Prabhupada disciples, Tamal Krishna Maharaj's best example. Then another beautiful example is, you know, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was so expert in engaging different devotees to serve him and bring this enthusiasm and desire to serve Srila Prabhupada. So Madhuvisa Prabhu, he was a temple president in Mumbai in the early days, and he had a hard time there. It's difficult. He came to Prabhupada complaining. He said, Prabhupada, I cannot stay here because it's just hard for me. You know, dealing with Indians, they're very tricky, he said. He says, Prabhupada says, but I'm Indian, so this means I'm tricky as well. He said, no, Prabhupada, you're not tricky. Then Prabhupada said to him, no, I'm actually tricky because I tricked all of you to come to Krishna consciousness and give your life, and now you cannot go away. So you can see how Srila Prabhupada had this, he knew how to inspire each and every individual to bring best in them. Another example is Pancha Dravida Prabhu. He was Brahmachari at that time, and he came to Prabhupada also complaining, Prabhupada, in India, Prabhupada, what shall I do? I cannot be Brahmachari anymore. I'm struggling. Can I go outside and live outside and be Brahmachari outside? And Prabhupada said, yeah, you can go outside, chant your rounds, follow four regulative principles, and yes, you can be Brahmacharya outside, but you're not part of our movement anymore. So then he was so confused, but he left Prabhupada. The next day he came to Prabhupada. This Prabhupada, you said that, you know, I can live outside, but I cannot be part of the movement, so, you know, what shall I do? And then Prabhupada said, why are you asking this stupid question? He said to him, you should know how to serve spiritual master. You should learn how to serve spiritual master properly. Don't ask me these questions. So we all shall have desire in our heart to meditate how we can serve Prabhupada better, how we can serve Radha Gokulananda better. If we have this mentality and this mood in our heart, we will know what to do. Mother Kulangana once said to me, she said that if you love somebody, you will know how to serve him. Nobody needs to teach you. And I think this is a very nice point. If you really meditate on Guru, on Krishna all the time, you will know how to serve him, because it will be so much love and affection, you will just know. So like that. And we should also know how to get the mercy. Visishala Prabhupada was so loyal. He was so loyal to Parampara. He was so loyal to his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta. When he was leaving for America, many of his good brothers told him, you don't need to wear sannyasi cloth. Then some other swamis told him, you don't need to follow all the principles. You can eat onion and garlic sometimes, because, you know, you don't have facility. You can eat all kinds of things because, you know, you're going to America, you're going to preach, you can do so many things. But Prabhupada was very loyal to his guru. He was very loyal to the parampara. He didn't move even an inch from the instructions that was given by Vyasadeva, instructions that have been given by Goswamis, instructions that have been given by all the acharyas, by his spiritual master. So we need to learn how to be loyal and dedicated to parampara, to our guru parampara. But for that, we all need instructions and guidance and help from so many sources. So I was thinking from where we can get help for spiritual progress, from where we can have guidance. So I was meditating that we can take guidance from spiritual master. We know that when you join our movement, if you practice Krishna consciousness for some time, you will learn that you need spiritual master to make progress. And this is essential. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Tasmat gurum prapadyanta jigesu shriya utamam shabda parachanishnitam brahmane upashama ashrayam. He says, accept spiritual master and inquire from him about absolute truth. Inquire from him about God, how to serve God, how to serve him that he likes, not the way you like, the way he likes. So we all need to accept spiritual master to make progress. One beautiful example is one story from one Purana. It explains about one boy who came to Gurukula and wanted to learn Vedas. So then Gurukula teachers told him, yeah, you can come, you can learn Vedas, but this takes 12 years to learn the Vedas. And he says, yeah, I will enroll into you know, Gurukula and I will learn. So he was studying the Vedas, and you know, day for the exam came. And then part of exam was that child or this Gurukuli needs to go under the tree, and there he will be given certain portion of the Vedas, and he will need to recite these Vedas. And then if any leaf from tree falls down, this means he has done mistakes. So how many leaves from tree fall down? This means so many mistakes he made. So then he started to do his exam. He was reciting the certain portion of the Vedas, and after some time, all the leaves from tree fall down. And he was bewildered. What happened? What is wrong? And then he would run to his master and he said, you know, what I have done? All the leaves fall down. And then his spiritual master looked at him. He says, you've done a very big mistake. Before you, because this Vedas, particularly what he was chanting, invoked form of Krishna with the mantras. So he said, you have been invoking Krishna with mantras, but you forgot to meditate on Guru before that. So all your perfect recitation of Vedas, all your desire to serve Krishna, not everything is lost because in the beginning you forgot to meditate on Guru. So we can see how important it is to go through the spiritual master. And also importance of initiation. Narada Muni, this is a story from Narada Pancharatra. Narada Muni was... It was assembly of all the demigods, 33 million demigods have been having some assembly, and Narada Muni came there to see what's going on. So he came there, and all the demigods had been seated in their vyasasans. They had their asanas, they had been sitting there. And then when he came, he was giving lower position to sit on. So he sat there, but then he asked Brahma, he said, why am I sitting lower than everybody else? Then Brahma told him, because you don't have guru. He says, I'm your father, okay, I'm your guru, but you never initiated, so how you can sit on the same position, you're not initiated. And then Narada said, okay, I'll go quickly to earth, I'll find some guru, and I'll come back. So he quickly went to planet earth, and he saw some fishermen, and he says, come, accept me as your disciple, I want to be your disciple, be my guru. And then this fisherman says, I don't have my guru myself, I didn't receive mantra, how can I give you initiation? He says, don't worry, just say anything and you know you'll be my spiritual master. So then he says, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And then he said, yes, I got mantra. So he immediately went back to Swargaloka and he said, I have guru now. And Brahma says, where is the proof? So he says, yeah, I was being given mantra. So where is the guru? So then he immediately went back to planet Earth. He took fisherman with him and he presented him and he says, here is my guru. So then he was given same position. So point is, story is nice and funny, but point is that importance of initiation, importance of taking diksha and taking guidance from spiritual master. Prabhupada was glorified so much by his disciples, and we know they used to, you know, worship him so much and you know glorify him. Then once one disciple told him, you know, Prabhupada, you're so amazing. You're doing so many things. You have thousands of disciples. You're traveling all the world, inspiring so many people. You're just so amazing. And the Prabhupada said, I'm just dog from my spiritual master. And then he took beads from his bead pack and he says, look, this is the chain. So this is, I'm connected with my spiritual master, this chain. So this is my power. Nothing is coming from me. So we can see how important it is to take shelter of spiritual master. Prabhupada was teaching us, and previous acharyas all emphasized so much on that point, that we need to accept guru, take instructions and follow very seriously. So help from guru is required to make progress. I was meditating how important it is to take help from seniors. We can see Krishna, Yashoda, Mai, and Nanda Baba. To serve Krishna better, they took advice from Upananda, who was senior. Bhagavad Gita says, Anya tvevam agyantaha shrutva nebhya upasate tepichati taranteva. He says that we should mrityu shruti parayanaha. He says that we should, some people don't have knowledge, but simply by hearing from others, they get the knowledge and they're able to serve Krishna very nicely. They're able to serve me very nicely. So simply by hearing from our seniors, we have so many seniors in our movement, in our temples, you can take guidance from, and then you can be safe and progress nicely. Lord Ramachandra, when he was asked by Vishwamitra Muni to lift and break the bow, and then he has done this in Mithila, and then he circumambulated that bow, and then, of course, Sita was born, and then Sita wanted to put garland on Ramachandra, and then Lord Ram didn't want to accept garland. He said, I didn't get permission from my mother. I cannot accept that. But then Vishwamitra Muni said, no, I asked permission. You can accept Sita as your wife. So then only Ramachandra accepted Sita. So we can see that even Ramachandra, who is independent, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, can do anything what he wants. He followed the rules so strictly. And sometimes taking advice from parents, from seniors, it's not easy. It's not easy to follow. Dhruva Maharaj, we know Swayambhuva Manu had two sons, Priyavrata and Uttanapad. And Uttanapad was father from Dhruva Maharaj. Uttanapad had two wives, Suruchi and Suniti. Suniti was mother from Dhruva Maharaj. And Suruchi also had one son. So Suruchi was favorite wife from from Uttanapad. And then Suruchi's son once was climbing on the lap of Uttanapad and to play with his father. And then Dhruva, who was son from Suniti, wanted to do the same. Of course, children like their father, they want to play. And he was climbing up, and then Surucha looked at him with very upset and angry eyes. He says, you cannot do the same thing my son does. You need to die, take birth from my womb, and then you can actually do the same thing. He says, but you need to worship Narayan. And then Dhruva Maharaj was very upset. He was crying. Of course, we cannot forget, 5-year-old child. So then he ran immediately to his mother. And also all the servants in this hall saw what happened. So they also explained to Suniti, Suruchi was so rude to Dhruva Maharaj, to your son. And you see what happened now. And then Dhruva was crying, explained to his mother. And then mother said, you know what? Suruchi is actually right. I'm the second best wife from Uttanapad, my husband. So if you want to really be on the same level, you will actually need to worship Supreme Personality of Godhead. You need to go to forest. And of course, this was all said in a crying, in a very sensitive mood, where it was a very intensive mood. So then Dhruva Maharaj took this seriously. So his stepmother told him, go worship Lord Narayan. His mother told him, go to worship Narayan. What he has done, he went to forest. And then he started to perform tapasya. Very soon, Narada Muni came and he tell him, you go back home, what are you doing? But no, he said, I'll follow instructions from my family. Both mothers gave him instruction. So Narada Muni was not able to take him away. So Narada Muni, we know, he gave him the mantra. And then Narada Muni straight away went to his father. He told father, your son, how is your kingdom? He says, oh no, my son went to the forest. He says, don't worry, your son is a very great devotee. And we know later on Dhruva Maharaj achieved perfection. Why? Because he was following his seniors. He was following his parents. And I was thinking this is very important to follow parents, to follow seniors. But we also need to bear in mind that ultimately Krishna is in charge. So parents are there to follow, but ultimately Krishna sanctions everything. Beautiful example is from Mahabharata. In Mahabharata, when Jayadratha was killed, Duryodhana was very upset. He was thinking, I will lose the battle, I will lose the kingdom, I'll lose everything. So he didn't know what to do. Gandhari, his mother, heard that. And we know Gandhari, she had a rope around her eyes, so she blinded herself, so she will be on the same platform like her husband. So she was blind, but she had many siddhis. Gandhari was full of siddhis, very, very powerful Vaishnavi. So she told him, come, Duryodhana, to me, and I'll give you special power, special siddhi. Nobody will be able to kill you. But only one condition. You will need to come in the night without any cloth on to take the... And then only when I see you with my eyes without any cloth, then you'll be able to... I'll impart to you all the cities, all the power. Nobody will be able to defeat you in a war. You'll win the battle. So then Duryodhana said, okay, I'll do that. Next day night he was... He went there. He said, okay, he took all his cloth off. He was walking towards the room where Gandhari was staying. And while he was walking, Krishna came. I looked at him. He says, what are you doing? Naked? Grown man, naked in the middle of the night? Where are you going? He said, I'll go to see my mother. You're going to see your mother fully naked? What kind of culture is that? He says, at least put gamsha on and then go to see her. You cannot go naked. So then Duryodhana said, this is actually true. How can I go to see my mother? Fully naked. So then he put gamsha around and he went into room. This is middle of the night. He went to the room and then Gandhari, she had rope around her eyes, says, okay, Duryodhana, you're ready, my son? He says, I'm ready. So then she took rope off and she looked at him and she looked from the feet up and she saw gamsha. And then gamsha was covering upper parts of his legs. And then she understood that he'll be defeated because she was not able to see all his body. So parts of body that she didn't see, she was not able to see, these parts remained weak, remained same strength like it was before. So we know later what happened. How was Duryodhana killed by Bhima? He was hit with club of tides, the place where he was covered while Gandhari was in a war. He was killed in this place. He was defeated like that. So we can see, point is, he was following instruction from his mother. He was following instruction from seniors, but he forgot who is the supreme controller. He forgot that Krishna is in charge. So we need to follow spiritual master to make progress. We need to follow seniors because they can help us so much. And we also need to follow sadhus. Having a regular association of saintly people, sadhus, is very important. We know in Chaitanya Charitamrita, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. Shishi Radha Gokulanda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanumana ki, Shishi Gokonita ki. So we can see that in even one moment of association from a saintly person can give us liberation, can give us perfection of life. Hanuman was a perfect example of that. He knew and he always desired to get the blessing from sadhus whenever he got opportunity. From his childhood, we knew when he was doing mischievous thing, he jumped into the sky to catch the sun, thinking that this is the fruit. Then Rahu came. He was thinking, okay, Rahu planet, maybe I should leave sun, I should catch the Rahu. Then he was running after Rahu, and then Rahu became upset. Planet was upset. Everybody was upset. Then Indra came and then hit him with his thunderbolt in the jaw. And then, you know, Hanuman fell unconscious, he fell on earth. And we knew then his father, Vayu, became very upset. And then he took away all the air, so nobody was able to breathe. So then all the demigods became very worried. What will happen now with, whole world? Nobody cannot breathe. So then came begging, Vayu, please help us. You know, give us back air so we can breathe. And we'll give all the blessings to your son. So he received blessings from Brahma, he received blessing from Kuvera, he received blessing from Indra, from Chandra, from Suryadev, from all the demigods, he received blessings. And he was fully blessed. And then once he was with his mother in his house, and he heard some beautiful instrument, music, singing going on. So he said, he asked mother, what is that? And then his mother said, this is probably Narada Muni. Who is Narada Muni? He said, just go to see, you will understand. So Hanuman went outside his house and he saw Narada Muni. And understanding this is the great sage, he immediately asked for blessings. Please give me some blessings. And then he said, oh monkey, what kind of blessings I can give you? You know, you got all the blessings from all the demigods. Nothing is remained. I cannot give you any blessing. So Hanuman said, no, some blessing you can give. You just need to give one blessing. You need to give something. So then Narada Muni says, okay, what do you want? And then Hanuman said, okay, I'll give you, I want to become better musician than you. And then Narada Muni says, okay, I'll give you this blessing. And then he gave him this blessing and he wanted to leave. And then Hanuman said, no, you cannot go nowhere. First, sit here and then hear me so I can see that you can see that I'm better than you. So then, Narada said, fine. Then he started to play his veena, and Hanuman started to sing. And it was so melodious and so devotional. And then, Narada Muni was in a trance, and he left his veena on a rock. And he was just in a trance. And then what happened? Rock melted, and veena ended up floating in a water rock. And then Hanuman stopped singing, and then this rock turned up into, again, and water, the rock turned into rock again, hard. And then Narada Muni came out of trance, and it was so beautiful, and he wanted, okay, Hanuman, I need to go now. And he looked at Veena, and Veena was in the rock, captured, he didn't know what to do. And then he said, Hanuman, you need to sing again. You need to sing again to help me, to take my Veena back. And then Hanuman said, maybe yes, maybe not. And then he started to run, and he was running all over his house, inside all the rooms, and Narada Muni was following him. While Narada Muni was following, he was screaming, he said, Hanuman, stop. His mother heard that, Hanuman's mother. Then mother came, said, Hanuman, what are you doing again? He said, no, I'm just playing. He says, with who are you playing? Narada Muni, what are you doing? I'm just bringing him to each and every room of my house so sadhu can bless my house and so I can get benediction and make further progress. So he made Narada Muni touch every single piece of house so he can, every single room so he can get the blessing and bless the house. So Hanuman was very eager to get the blessings from sadhus. And we should always follow advice from devotees. So sadhu may come, sadhu may give instruction, sadhu may give advice, but we need to follow that. Mahavishnu Maharaj is explained beautiful pastime in this is previous life from Bilva Mangala Thakur. He's giving nice example how important it is to follow advice from devotee. So Bilva Mangala Thakur, we know he was great devotee, but in his previous life he was great sannyasi devotee of Lord Krishna, and he was on very high level of spiritual advancement. So what he used to do, he used to arrange the Bhagavad Katha going on in his house. And after Bhagavad Katha finished, he arranged beautiful, you know, feast, opulent feast every time. So this was going on regularly. So then for the feast, you need money. So he was always in need for money to make the feast for devotees. So then once he was walking and, you know, doing his japa and thinking, how can I, you know, get the money for more feast? And he saw one lady was dead, and she was cremated, and her father was very, very opulent, and so he put all the jewelry on that body, and he burned that body with so much jewelry. And then sannyasi was thinking this, maybe I can, after they burn the body, or I can even now take the jewelry. Why jewelry needs to stay on all that body? I will use it for Krishna anyways. So then he went there while all the family went away, body was burning. He went there to, you know, take the jewelry, and then he heard the voice from this lady who just died. He heard the voice from the sky, says, you cannot take that. He's rather go to my father, he's very rich, just ask him, under my bed it's so much jewelry, just take jewelry, whatever you want, because you want to serve Krishna ultimately. So then this sannyasi said, okay, I'll do that. I'll go. Thank you for telling me. He went to the house, begged this king, please give me jewelry your daughter told me. How your daughter told you? No, don't worry, just give me. And then he explained everything. So king, being very, very pious, he wanted to serve sadhu. He gave the jewelry and everything. So then sannyasi exchanged this for money, and then he continued with his opulent feast for the devotees who recited and heard Srimad Bhagavata. But still it was not enough. So next time he was walking, he said, no, now I want more, I need more. So he went there to the same place, but this time he picked the necklace from the same lady. And while picking the necklace, he heard from the sky, he says, you crooked sannyasi, why doing that? Why taking? I told you don't take. Because of that, next life you will take low-class birth, and you will be a woman hunter because of that. So, and then this lady took birth as Chintamani, and then this sannyasi took birth as Bilva Mangala Thakur. We knew what happened after Bilva Mangala Thakur achieved perfection following instruction from Chintamani. But they needed to take both birth again. So the point is that we need to follow instruction from spiritual master. Otherwise, spiritual master needs to come again to save us. And also, we need to come again in this life, take birth, and suffer so much just because not following instructions. So we need to take guidance from guru, we need to take guidance from seniors, we need to take guidance from sadhus, and we need to also take guidance from shastras. Following the shastra is very important, following Srimad Bhagavatam instructions. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Sarva Vedanta Saramhi, Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyate. Tadra samrita triptasya nanyatra syatra tihkvachit. He says, of all the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam is essence. Whoever tastes the nectar from Srimad Bhagavatam, he will not be attracted by nothing else. He will not be attracted by any other literature. So very important to take instructions and guidance from Srimad Bhagavatam. And we can see example that even demigods, even higher living entities who are more advanced and exalted than us, they like to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Beautiful example is from Lord Shiva and Parvati. It's just one temple in India, in North India, and which was opened only a few days in a year. And one Brahmana with his followers, he used to go to different temples around the country and just speak Bhagavatam to his disciples and followers, recite Bhagavatam. So then he decided to go to this temple, recite Bhagavatam, because, He visited other places. He didn't go to this place. It's only a few days open. He went there to recite Bhagavatam for the pleasure of devotees and Lord Shiva and Parvati, because they're also best devotees of Krishna. So he was reciting 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam every day. So then they came to the chapter 60. Chapter 60, Srimad Bhagavatam explains 10th canto where when Lord Krishna is teasing Rukmini. He says, you married me, but you had so many other options, you had Shishupal, you have Jarasandha, so many other options to better kings. And then he was reciting this, and whenever he finished the chapter, he put bookmark, and then he will leave, and then he will start from where he stopped last time. So he came next day, and he saw that bookmark was back on the same 60th chapter. So he said, okay, I'll start again from this chapter. He recited the Bhagavatam. And then he finished, the next day again, he came again, bookmark was on the 60th chapter. So he done again. This went for a few days. He was reciting same chapter for a few days. And then last day he recited 60th chapter. He was leaving. And while leaving the temple, he forgot on the halfway that he forgot his Bhagavatam. So he went back to pick up the Bhagavatam, but temple was closed. So then he looked through the keyhole and he heard some voice. And he looked and he saw Lord Shiva reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 60 to Parvati. And then after he finished, he was so astonished. After he finished, Parvati looked at him. Shiva looked at Parvati and said, was this good? And Parvati said, it was good, but not so good as this Brahmana. So we can see how even Lord Shiva, who is such an exalted Vaishnava, he regularly hears Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, this is the reason why devotees are advanced, because they regularly hear Shastra and take instructions from Shastra. And also by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we know if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, all the holy tirthas, all the holy rivers are present in this place wherever Srimad Bhagavatam is recited. Beautiful example is one devotee was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and arranging Krishna Katha in his house regularly. So while doing Krishna Katha, he got strong desire in heart to visit Ganga and take bath in Ganga. But he really arranged Bhagavata Shabda to go on. So all the devotees came to his house, they recited Bhagavatam, but he left the house to go to take bath in the Ganga. So when he came to the Ganga, he saw that the Ganga was dry. He was not able to take bath, and he was thinking, okay, what offense I have done that I cannot take bath in Ganga? And then he went back, but he saw a few devotees coming, and they took bath in Ganga, they're still wet body. So he says, what offense I have done? So he went to one local sadhu, he says, please help me, what kind of offense I have done? What kind of blessing you have so I can take bath in Ganga? So he says, you don't understand. Every day, because I'm very old, I cannot take bath in Ganga, but every day I put Bhagavatam in front of me, and I offer flower, incense, I offer puja, and read Bhagavatam every day. And this is how I take bath in Ganga. I don't need to go nowhere. I can just read Bhagavatam and I'll be purified and cleaned. All the holy rivers will be present. All the Vaishnavas will be present. All the forms of Lord will come for you to serve you so you can serve them. All the sadhus will be present so you can purify yourself, make progress. So we can see how if you read Bhagavatam, everything comes. And also important to read Bhagavatam, read Shastras properly. One astrologer came to sadhu and he says, one rich person came to astrologer, said, I'm very disturbed, astrologer, please help me. Tell me what is wrong with me. He says, nothing is wrong with you, you're fine, you're just a little bit stressed. Then he said, please help me, you know, I'm rich, I have everything, but I'm in anxiety, what shall I do? And then this astrologer was a great devotee of Krishna. So he said, you should read Bhagavad Gita. Study Bhagavad Gita. Find the guru, study Bhagavad Gita. Everything will gone. And then he said, okay. So he went to find one Vaishnava and he said, please teach me Bhagavad Gita. And this Vaishnava said, okay, I'll teach you, but this will take at least 1 year to study 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And then he said, this is too long for me. I cannot study so much. Can you do something less? Say, okay, in 2 weeks, we can study 18 chapter. This is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Study the 18 chapter, and then you'll achieve, you'll be free from anxiety. And then this rich man said, no, this is even too much for me, I cannot obey. Give me more, something more, less, quicker. So he says, okay, from the 18th chapter, Sarva Dharma Paridhyaja, Mame Kam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papibhyo, Mokshay Ma Sami Masuchaha. He says, this verse, he says, and just study this verse, everything will come. And this will take, you know, few days. He said, no, I don't have so much time. Give me even more essential. What is the essence of that? So the essence of that is Masuchihi. Don't be in anxiety. Don't worry. Don't worry, I'll help you, Krishna says. Then he says, I'm still worried, what should I do? And then this devotee, Vaishnava, said, okay, now this is enough. You should accept Guru and study Bhagavad Gita properly from the beginning to end. And this is the best way to make spiritual progress. Don't do shortcuts if you want to make spiritual progress. So we can see we need to progress, we need to advance, we need to take shelter from seniors, we need to take shelter from Guru, we need to take shelter from Sadhu, and we need to take shelter from Shastra. And also we need to take shelter of the holy name. Whenever Mother Yashoda was doing service for Krishna, what she used to do when she used to churn the yogurt, she used to chant beautiful, beautiful bhajans, glorifying Krishna's pastimes. She used to do this regularly. And Bhagavatam says, Namo Sankirtanayasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamaduka Shamanas Tam Namami Hari Param. That this holy name, I offer my obeisances to you, holy name, because you, just by chanting your name, all anxiety is gone and all the sins are removed, just by chanting the holy name. And one of my favorite pastimes from Lord Ramachandra is when Hanuman and monkeys decided to build a bridge to come to Lanka. They knew what to do, and you know, they decided, okay, we'll just throw the stones into ocean. They started to throw the stones into ocean, but stones sank into water. So Hanuman took another one, threw again, and stone sank. So then he was so desperate, he just said, Ram, Ram, help me. And he threw the stone, and stone was floating in the water. And then he threw another stone, and stone sank. So he says, what I have done in the first place, the stone was staying on the water. So he meditated, and he remembered, oh, I chanted Ram name. So then it's two different stories. One story is that says that he wrote the name of Ram on a stone and threw. Another story says that he chanted the name of the Ram and threw, and stone was floating on the water. And they started to build the bridge. But then Lord Ramachandra came. And he says, I want to help you, Hanuman. I want to do same. Oh Lord, you don't need to do that. Please accept my obeisances. You don't need to do that. We are your servants. And Ram, he left the place. Then he came in the night when everybody was sleeping to do some service. He was very worried because all my devotees doing so much service for me. I don't do nothing. I want to serve as well. So he came in the night, took the stone, threw the stone sank. Ram took the stone sank in the water. So what is that? And then Hanuman was watching behind because Hanuman always follows Ramachandra. And he looked and says, oh Lord, please accept my obeisances. All glories to you. Lord Ramachandra, you are independent personality. You are the most glorious, greatest personality. But you don't understand one thing. He says, when we throw the stone, we connecting stone with you. We connecting your stone with the name of Ram. But when you throwing the stone, you throwing stone away from you, away from your name, away from your personality. So this is why stone doesn't float. So we can see Hanuman was always chanting the name of Ram. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, whenever his holy name chanted, Krishna is present there. It's none different. It's none different. So it's important that we take shelter of all the possible help that we have. Take help whenever you can. Take help from Guru. Take help from Sadhu. Take help from seniors. Take help from Srimad Bhagavatam. And most important, take shelter of the holy name. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Naste Eva Naste Eva Naste Eva Katinanyata. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So thank you very much for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Hare Krishna.